Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, offering crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at www.sfarmmarketing.com.
This is the October 29th edition of Commodity Week. Wheat futures found a footing this week. Corn followed along and the beans were driven higher on strong exports. What will the next month hold? We'll try to find out today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Jim Bauer of Bauer Trading out of Lafayette, Indiana. Our panelists in studio include Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities from Normal, Illinois, Sherman Newland of Risk Management Commodities out of Hudsonville, Illinois, and Brian Stark of the Andersons from right here in Champaign County.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Let's start with this question. Brian Stark, are we now in a seasonal trend for the corn market as opposed to the counter-seasonal trend we were in as we made it through way through summer and early harvest?
I would say so, Todd. I think the corn market is trying to find direction. And even though we've seen some strong evidence from a fast harvest that we've got a fairly accurate number for corn and beans, I still believe with the Western Corn Belt, with harvest moving along, that crop number is probably going to shrink as we move closer to a week from Tuesday's report.
Sherman Newland?
Yes, I think so. I believe the crop number will shrink. The market's probably going to head higher. I think the yields are showing up that they're coming in less, I mean, than even what the checks were coming in at by quite a bit. So I think the market's trying to find a way. It's biding its time until it gets a little more bullish news going in, maybe going into this report next week. But I believe the trend is still going higher.
And Kurt Kimmel.
Seasonal, contra-seasonal, I don't know, trends higher. So we got to play that card here as we move along. Typically, the market stays firm into 1st of December. I've not had much luck having guys empty a bin once they fill or once they pay minimum storage. It's awful hard to get cash grain to move. So there's business around. They're going to have to bid up for it to shake it loose.
This week, USDA had their data users group meeting in Chicago on Monday. Anything of interest that you heard about?
I didn't hear a whole lot of commentary from the program. I heard it was a good program and a lot of conversation.
I think obviously the stocks the fluctuation between June and September draw a big response, and obviously it was a tough thing to explain, and a lot of criticism generated there.
Here's the way the numbers settled up in Chicago, and we'll start with the wheat for this week. 7.25 was the high in the December contract. The low at $6.69. Settlement price there at $7.17 and a quarter, up 46.5 cents. July wheat at 7.83 and three quarters, up 47 and three quarters. Sherman Newland, you have a wheat crop. How's it look in your part of the world?
Yes, I do have a wheat crop. Sketchy. I mean, some of it doesn't look too bad. It depends on when they got it planted and if they got any rain on it. But, I mean, I know the growers are looking for a good rain to help it before it gets cold and starts freezing. So it's, you know, neat. It's tough. I mean, it's looking tough like the government's saying it is right now. It could use some rain.
You're a farmer. You think that this rally in the wheat market was needed? Other than you would like to have that.
I asked that question thinking, well, yeah, sure it is.
Every rally's needed. Come on.
You betcha, baby.
When I'm sitting on the tractor and I hear it's going up, you know, in the combine, you like to hear that kind of thing.
When it's going down, you shut it off.
Yeah, I turn it off. You know, I Todd can't be right this week. Yes, I do think the rally is needed. I mean, I think the crop conditions are catching, you know, some of the trade's interest. I think that the dryness over in Russia is still a very interesting. It's going to be definitely a story that's going to have to play out later on down the road. So I think the trade's getting a little bit nervous of what the wheat crop might look like and whether or not next spring their acres are still going to be there with the price of corn where it's at, whether the guys are going to tear it up or not.
Yeah, 47-45% good to excellent is not a very good start. But, too, just a lot of talk about food security. It doesn't matter what the price is. Asia wants food security, and happens that wheat is going to be on that list.
Is it your opinion that corn futures simply followed wheat higher this week, or did it have any legs of its own?
No, I think it followed wheat. I think wheat could be the leader here in the short term based on the crop ratings and the fact that we've got a tough supply situation in that commodity as well with the problems in Russia moving forward, and the fact that wheat can be a substitute into feed rations. I think one of the biggest points that one of the USDA directors said this week at the conference in Chicago was to look at the Black Sea region, because they could be a net importer, and that's a huge momentum builder potentially for the wheat market heading into the winter.
And what do you watch then? So we've got the Black Sea. Of course, it's the Northern Hemisphere. That's Ukraine, Russia area. Mm-hmm. They had a tough time in Russia and in Ukraine to some extent this past year in their harvest season, which is in the August time frame. Mm-hmm. They should have been in the sowing wheat at this point, and they were as a couple of weeks ago, and I haven't seen anything recently about half as far along as they were supposed to. I suppose this is maybe the reason Jerry Bangy made that note. He's at the World Agricultural Outlook Board. But it was kind of a unique comment coming from somebody inside the United States government.
Sure. Well, I think that's an interesting comment because we focus on China being the big short in the market. And I think we lose touch with the fact that Russia this week bought 2 million metric ton from the Ukraine, also put in a bid to be the first ones to have an opportunity, if they export more, to buy another 2 million metric tons. So that is a critical area. It's not just China, but the world as a whole is dealing with a very tight coarse grain situation.
Have you looked at the numbers in the Southern Hemisphere for wheat, and can they sustain? Usually the Southern Hemisphere, of course, doesn't raise near the size of the crop the Northern Hemisphere does, but they do export out of Argentina and Australia, and Australia's had kind of a tough wheat crop too so far. They have been very dry.
Yeah, we've seen estimates start to come down there, and that's what's, even though wheat's raised in every country of the world, it seems like every country of the world is having some type of production problem or concern here as we start the new growing season.
And now turn that back around into the corn, and I'll give you the numbers. December contract at 585 and a quarter, top of bottom at 560 and a half. Settled in the Dease contract at 582. They were up 22 cents. December at 518 and a half, up 23 and a half. Of course, the other corn crop in the world really is in Argentina. They're just about put that in the ground. We're here looking at a smaller corn crop. You think that it can get much smaller than it is by USDA's count already?
Well, you're talking a million metric tons here and a million metric tons there in Argentina. I think probably the main focus, though, is still on China, how big their corn crop is, because that's going to determine on corn sales here as we go into this winter.
You think that's right? China is the place we have to watch on the size of their crop. We have a range of, 169, I think, on the top from USDA. There's 166 somewhere in there, and then 158, and I think a low of 156 million metric tons.
Yes, I think we definitely have to try and watch where that's going at, because we'll kind of determine on how much corn they're probably going to import and what the world supply is going to be. I mean, like we said, Russia is looking to buy corn. I mean, right now we're the biggest place in the world to get corn from. So, looking at our own numbers next week is going to be very important. And I still think whether they'll do it next week or the month after, our crop is still going to get smaller here in the U.S.
What's important about next week for you?
Well, there's a lot of things coming out next week. I mean, you got the
election.
The election.
You got to figure out what the Fed's going to be doing.
Well, they got the election, and then there are some things after the election that have to be moved pretty quickly. Actually, you probably have to take a look at what we've got. Tax credits that you have to worry about for ethanol, and that probably needs to take place after the election, right? And I suppose the Andersons been watching that one pretty closely.
Yes, obviously that's a big one. As you're moving forward, the tax credits obviously take place. And then, like Sherwin said, that it's the Fed has to make a big decision as far as what's the amount of Treasury bonds we're going to be looking to buy and this quantitative easing program and what that means to the dollar, because it could all be magnified by an inflationary trade here as we move forward if we're going to print, you know, $500 billion to $1 trillion.
All right, let's take a look at some of the other numbers. November soybeans this week, 12.36¾ was the top. The bottom at $11.99. Settlement price at 12.26, up 26.5 from the previous week. November of next year at $11.73, up 19.5 cents. The export market for soybeans, unlike for corn this past week, was red hot still.
Huge, huge. I mean, we're seeing Asia continue to come to our market. The fear is that South America might not get their beans out in a timely fashion since they're going in late, so we're extending our business into April there. But they've been projected to be a buyer of 1 million metric tons per week, and so far they're at that pace a little bit better.
Yes, I mean, they are. I mean, they're also building more crushing plants over there, so their usage sure is look like they're going to be using it and buying beans for quite a while. So I think it's been a pretty good week for the bean market.
You know, did you think, Sherman, I'll come back to you being a farmer.
Sure.
Did you think when you were harvesting beans, and I suspect they were good like everybody else's, that beans could rally like they have?
No, not quite exactly like this high. I mean, we thought we could go up some more. I mean, we knew beans were pretty good in most places, maybe not quite, everywhere. But yields were definitely up this year. So if there was something I was more likely to sell off the combine, it was going to be the beans and not the corn. But beans have been going up, pretty steady. So,
Can you give me an outline of basis for corn and beans both, please?
Basis right now, 10 under the D's is kind of nominal for this area, 20 under for beans. The basis for the processors have gotten to even board option value to positive margin because of what Kurt mentioned earlier. I think it's going to be tough to get the producer to unload and be willing to move grain in this bullish environment right now.
Well, they're bullish, and we have corn with a 5 in front of it, and we have soybeans with a 12 in front of it. Next year's with an 11 in front of it. Their bullish basis is really strong. Do they need to move? And I'll ask the grain elevator guy first, and then we'll come back to the rest of you. Do you think they ought to move crop? Both old and new crop.
Well, I think old is the first thing. I think we've got a major problem coming at us in 2011, barring any government intervention or pull of a mandate or something along those lines. We have an acreage issue, and we've been very cautious in recommending guys be aggressive sellers in 11. So I think the first thing they need to look at doing is potentially maybe moving some beans because it feels like corn is maybe a little bit more bullish at the present time frame, and then maybe some old crop corn.
Yeah, I mean, guys aren't – they've sold pretty well what they wanted to sell for right now. I mean, they're piecemealing it out a little bit. I've got a good client that says, with a 5 and a 5 in front of the corn, you know, how can you go wrong? And you're right. But I'm urging them, if they're making sales, to try and re-own that in some way, shape, or form. So, you know, that's kind of where we're at.
Yeah, guys are pretty well sold up. Like Sherman said, they're where they want to be. We've been pushing cash sales and replacement owner on paper. A lot of option strategies. You can come in and do some covered positions or reinvest 25, 30 cents on it. If corn goes on up to $8-9, you're on board. If not, you've got your money. You've kept the banker and the wife happy for a few days.
Speaking of keeping the banker happy, do you suppose that the grain industry itself is in a better position this time around to handle a sharper rally in the marketplace than happened in 2008?
I would say that they are, and that's because there's not as big a forward book, crop year 2, crop year 3 out forward contracting. That makes a big difference. But on the flip side, credit's still tight, and I think that could be a bigger crunch for some smaller grain companies as you move forward into that $7, $8 area.
Okay, does anybody have a reason that the market might fall apart?
I don't today.
Lots of no's.
I think it could sell off, at any point in time. I mean, if the dollar would try to reverse and go quite a bit higher, I think we'll be selling. It could sell off some, but I think with the fundamentals the way they are that it's going to be bought.
Just don't let Jimmy Carter talk to Obama.
No.
Good, no embargoes. All right, no. Live cattle future. October contract, 102.20 was the high, the low at 97.70. Settlement price at 98.85, down $3.35. November feeders at 110.32.5. They were off $2.22.5. Lean hogs at $70.30 for their top, the bottom at 66.10. The settlement price at $66.20. Finished $4.45 lower in the lean hogs. Why the sell-off?
Well, we're just seeing a little heavier weights. You thought, well, they'd push them out the door for higher prices, but actually we're seeing heavier weights. And seasonally, this is the time of year we see the break in the hog complex, but we're looking for a major low here by the middle of November.
We'll be back in just a couple of minutes when we'll talk with Jim Bauer of Bauer Trading out of Lafayette, Indiana. You're listening to Commodity Week. This is the October the 29th edition.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333 and by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. The big news this week was the intense record-setting storm over the northern Midwest. Preliminary indications are that the storm set a new record for the lowest pressure ever recorded over the continental U.S., and it did generate severe thunderstorms and produce strong and sometimes damaging winds across the northern half of Illinois, as well as the entire upper Midwest. Average temperatures were much above normal this week thanks to the strong southerly flow of air ahead of the front on Tuesday, which kept temperatures in the mid to upper 60s for 18 to 24 hours almost continuously. However, it was much cooler by Wednesday, with temperatures back close to normal, and much colder than normal on Thursday. That's fall for you in Illinois. Weekly precipitation was normal to much above normal across the state, although the only area with near normal rainfall for the month is a small portion of northwestern Illinois. Over 2 inches of rain fell there this week. The first week of November in Illinois should see slightly moderating temperatures. Right now it appears dry weather will continue, but the fly in the ointment is the forecast of an upper low to cut off over the Gulf states. Despite high pressure over the Midwest, that low could push clouds across at least the southern half of Illinois and possibly produce a little light rain over southern Illinois in the last half of the week. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
This is the October 29th edition of Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us today is Jim Bauer of Bauer Trading out of Lafayette, Indiana. Our panelists in studio include Sherman Newland of Risk Management Commodities, Brian Stark of the Andersons, and Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities. Mr. Bauer, thank you so much for being with us today.
Glad to be here.
Let's start off with kind of a wider view of the marketplace. We talked a bit about China, their willingness to import, of course, soybeans, whether or not they might have a short corn crop and need to import corn. What's your thought process?
Well, yeah, I always try to follow what China does, not what they say. That's been a good rule to use over all these years I've been trading. They're good at camouflage. They can make a scene look like it's great, and on the underside of it, it's not such a good deal for them. But what I thought was interesting, personally, I don't think China's in a position right now to import U.S. corn. Their domestic price now is low enough, and the transportation costs have come up high enough, and the price of U.S. corn has come up high enough. I don't think it's economical now for them to bring corn into China from the U.S., at least at the present time. So I would put a dampening solid no on further sales to China of corn, unless the price comes down and the domestic price inside China, you know, becomes less competitive.
Hey, Jim, what's your take on the Chinese announcement on the corn being rejected Friday?
Well, that may be a situation we've seen in the past. They tend to do that when they're getting a little nervous with maybe some of their contracts, and that's another reason I, when they start doing that, makes me a little uneasy about relying upon them to keep up their import pace. As someone mentioned, the pace of soybean imports is just torrid. I'm not sure if that's that they're worried that the Brazilian-Argentine crop is not going to be as good as they originally thought. I'm a little surprised they're this aggressive, but certainly it's been a boom to the price. But talking to our scout in Brazil, certainly it's really up in the air right now just how big that crop's going to be. And I think China's just trying to make sure they're covered until they know for sure how big it is.
Jim, if you don't think China's going to be in the market anytime soon for corn, how long do you think the corn market then will stay up at these price levels waiting for that news? Or do you think maybe just a bullish report next week would be enough to keep the market moving higher?
Well, as you know, I've been on this program several times over the last several years, and you know I've been pretty bullish that corn market because of the S&D table, U.S. as well as global. But I think we're reaching a level now where I've got to be a little bit more cautious. We've had a great series of trades by underwriting or selling the puts and stripping the premiums to the client all the way from 380. We're clear up to 520s and 530s now. It's been just a terrific trade for us. But I told my staff, in fact, this afternoon, that we're going to have to tighten this up because we're at levels now, you know, with July, you know, over $6. That we've just got to heighten our awareness and just kind of be a lot more careful where we were and really slow down these trades that we've been doing. Can the corn market move higher? Well, the S&D table says yes. But there is one fly in the ointment here, which I kind of want to bring out. I noticed that everybody, unless I interpreted it wrong, everybody thought the crop numbers on this next crop report are going to be smaller for both corn and beans. And I'm not so sure about that. I have some clients in Nebraska, particular, that had absolutely terrific corn yield, some of up in the 240, 250. Now, granted, part of that's irrigated, but still, to be honest with you, I just didn't have that many bad yields come out of Nebraska. And there was also some good yields came out of South Dakota, North Dakota, Northeast Iowa, and Minnesota. So I had the whisper number of 155 on the corn yield 2 to 3 weeks before the last crop report, but now everybody's trying to say, well, Jim, is it going to drop down to 152, 151, 153.9? Well, I'm just not in the position feeling comfortable saying that that's going to happen. I'm just going to pretty much stick with the 155.8 on the corn. And again, I think the real feature to the corn market out ahead is to what level we have to get the corn crush to slow down this ethanol pace. We're approaching 5 billion bushels now, and I think that's the trigger mechanism that can flush this market out. The other thing that's worrying me, too, is, and I've been doing this a long time, is these elections. I've seen these markets get pretty brutal if the market's caught off guard by the election process. So I just want to put an asterisk by that election. I think it's a little bit more important than the trade thinks. And as I told my staff this afternoon, we've got to get a lot more cautious. We've got 50% of the corn sold for 2010. We've got a good price. We've got 40% of the beans sold. But to be honest with you, I'm starting to look for some selling opportunities now.
Do you think that given the pace that we're seeing on ethanol today that we need to move much higher to slow down that crush? It doesn't feel like, just following up with what you're saying, that we're seeing a slowdown in ethanol.
That's a real good point. That's what I'm trying to say. What price do we got to go to slow that down? I was looking at it the other day. Certainly, I don't think 610 is the price that does it. I think somewhere around the 640 to 660 mark makes that break-even point real questionable. And I think the trade probably is pretty aware of that. But I suppose we've just got to heighten our awareness of that. That is a thing that does worry me down the road here if this thing keeps accelerating.
Jim, on next week's report, what's some of the key numbers you're going to be looking at?
Well, obviously, someone mentioned this wheat market. When I do the wheat analysis, you know, I know the situation in Russia has been bad. I think most of that's been built in. But when I look at this export number for wheat that the USDA has been kind of flashing, it seems to me they should be too high on the wheat export number. Also, when you look at our inventory here in the United States, I mean, I just came from Montana and Wyoming, and the yields up through there were absolutely terrific. We've got a carryover somewhere around 850 plus, and that certainly doesn't warrant $8 wheat, in my opinion. Even though the global thing has gotten a little tighter with this price that we're seeing, the market's buying a lot more acres worldwide, and certainly, I think wheat is a much bigger question mark as far as being a positive market than most people think. The big thing that's happening in wheat right now, and I think spurring it along, is that obviously here in the United States, our southern and central plains grower, he or she really needs a rain pretty bad. I think if we'd get a 1 to 2 inch rain come through there, I don't think wheat can hold.
You said you had some 010 crops sold, Jim. At what point do you think you're going to try and start selling the 2011? I've had several people ask me about that.
Well, the first thing I'm going to go after, and I'm going to look for a place to sell the beans. I know this pace has been tremendous from China, but I had some customers, even in the states of Iowa, Illinois, and Indiana, that had some absolutely terrific bean yields. Granted, there were some poor ones, too, but I'm not so sure that we couldn't edge the bean number up a little bit. So I'm going to go after the beans first, although I've only got 40% sold on that, around $12 right now. And I'm looking. I was going to sell some at $12.34, and I saw that Chinese export pace, and I backed off. But you know, I'm hoping to get one major pop off a bad weather situation in the southern hemisphere, which is certainly possible due to this La Nina. It's still lingering around. And I've been talking to our best meteorologist, and he's still concerned about that. So I'm trying to time it off of a pop rally, off of the situation that stems from the southern hemisphere. But I still think there's a possibility they could, Brazil could produce a 69 million metric ton plus crop if they can start getting some better rains. But again, my meteorologist has advised me to be careful here. But going back to your question, my next sale is going to be in soybeans. I think the corn's behaving a little bit better. I think that break even on that ethanol thing that we just discussed, I think that's kind of looming out there. But certainly I'm getting more into the sell mode now for the 2010 crop than I was, because remember, a producer, no matter what he or she does, in essence, unless they get out of the business, they're always net long.
Thank you so much for being with us today, Jim.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
You have a good weekend. Jim Bauer is with Bauer Trading out of Lafayette, Indiana. Now for a final word from our panelists in studio. We'll start with you, Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities.
I was on the program last time Jim was on. He was dead on his commentary. And, boy, if I was a producer, had some grain left to sell, I'd probably heed his advice here and look for a spot to get caught up.
Sherman Newman?
We've got a lot of reports coming out next week. Stay close to the markets and stay flexible.
And Brian Stark?
I just agree with the other guys and say look to sell a little bit of your old crop, get caught up on some sales, and if you have a chance, re-own on paper.
Our thanks to Brian Stark of the Andersons from here in Champaign County, Sherman Newland of Risk Management Commodities from Hudsonville, Illinois, and Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. This has been the 29th of October edition of Commodity Week. You can always hear it again if you'd like. On our website, the address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming, from the pre-opening market report to the closing market report, everything in between, and this program, Commodity Week. You have a great day. I'm Todd Gleason.